Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. Hello, hello. In a police convertible. I'm still singing it. I'm still singing it now.
We had quite a few messages about this, pointing out that, amongst other things, the British police have had convertibles. A listener called Adam was one of the people who wrote in and said, my dad told me about the time in the 60s when he was young and in his first car, a Mark 1 Cortina.
Cortina.
Ford Cortina. I don't know where that came from. He decided to have a bit of fun with a Daimler SP250 Dart, only to end up getting pulled by it and finding out it was a Met police car. Doing some research, it seems they had a few as high-speed pursuit cars.
Problem is back in the 60s, you have to say it like that. You have to go close to the microphone and you have to say it with a slight sort of speechy bit. Of course, things were very different in the 60s. Yeah, and so what I was going to say was, surely the said Daimler Dart had a bell on the bonnet that was the size of a dustbin and it was glinting in the sun. You're like, oh, I wonder if that's a police car, what with it having a church bell on the bonnet? Because a lot of them had an actual bell mounted.
Yes, they did, they? Or one of those, like a bell from a 60s school that they would use to get kids in 60s. From playtime. In the 60s. Although they used to do that in the 80s when I was at primary school as well.
So well, I used to get nominated as the bell ringer, which...
bell boy.
Yeah. And I used to enjoy it.
No, Johnny, we need you to end playtime with the bell. So you're very much the school bell end.
I am. I am the ender of the bells. the U2 song that isn't really that lyric got me remembering after my French extravaganza that I did for car content. There was something else that happened, Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Which involves a song. So I don't know if you've seen it or anybody's seen it. I think it came out, or the renders came out in 2019, of a modern iteration of the Citroën H van, like a body cladding on a modern Citroën, I don't know what size van
jumper
it is.
Or whatever they call them. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the kind of the medium van, the transit-esque sized van.
Yeah.
So this company is based in Italy, and the guy who runs the company is a Citroën aficionado, obvs, and he's developed it all. And I actually, without knowing it, was talking to him at this event I was at in France. But I feel slightly bad because half a day before that, I'd seen him in the gang of people that we were in. We were at an ice racing event. And I'd pointed him out to a couple of people I was with and said, have you seen that guy's moustache, A? And then B, it suddenly hit me like a huge neon light bulb. I went, oh my gosh, remember that 80s song, that Live is Life by Opus? Which only gets played in German bars by the Nürburgring these days, according to my
personal... Yes, but on a loop.
On a loop. That's my own personal experience. So that song, that if you look at the lead singer in the music video, this guy, I kid you not, looks exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
He looks exactly the same, to the point where we had to look it up, but no one. He was such a lovely bloke, but nobody dared ask if he really was the lead singer in Opus at some point 40 years ago. But I think if he is, that's brilliant. What a diversification. go from 80s kind of pub foot stamping hit and to glass fiber wizardry. I think it's fantastic.
Did you get to go in one of his vans or ask him for a rendition of his song?
I've had a look at the van. I am going to feature one of the vans because I think they're amazing, and they do a couple of versions now. For the purposes of the listeners doing the listen, I think it's called the Type H. Let me just find the website, because it's a really lovely thing.
While you're doing that, also on the police cars tip.
Yes.
A listener, I won't say their name, but he said, having heard your chat about odd police cars, for a good while I was in the job, in inverted commas, I used to love it when they said that on the bill, my mate and I would see who could find the oldest car to use for a night shift. This was 2009 to 2017. He was in the job. And he says,
the job.
I thought I'd won when I dug out a last generation Escort from the depths of the county.
What?
But then his friend managed to find an M-Reg Peugeot 405 from God knows where. That's pretty impressive. 2009 to 2017, and he dug out a 90s Peugeot 405.
So it was still legally being used as a cop car.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I mean, it's good money saving.
The car was still on the job. Yeah, well, I suppose, I wonder if some cars have sort of unusually low mileages for their age for some reason, and therefore it's decided just to keep them hanging around as a backup.
Well, I like that. I like that idea. If you take each car on a case-by-case basis rather than, it's 4 years old now, let's just get rid.
Well, yeah. You know, condition, not mileage.
That's right.
And all of those sort of things.
No.
Also, since we're talking about this, you know, we were sort of saying about random blue lights. We've had quite a few messages about that. There's one from a listener called Leo who says, I have a friend who's in the SAS and he has blues, but not sure if sirens, on his single cab Hilux.
What?
It's old and crusty and totally nondescript. It was fitted by the boys, in inverted commas, and they put it on whatever you drive. It's there to get to Hereford base quickly.
What, a scraggy old Hilux? Surely if you're in the... Yeah. Do you say he's in the SAS?
Yeah, apparently.
Surely they'd have to have a word and go, look, I know it's a Hilux, I know they're very reliable, but is that going to get there when we need you? Because when we need you, we bloody well need you.
Now, Leo says that his friend finds misuse conversations quite dull and doesn't entertain what we would all do when given such powers. That's probably why I'm not in the SAS yet. But I thought people in the SAS weren't supposed to tell you they were in the SAS. They just went, oh, yeah, I've got a desk job.
Maybe just times have changed now.
Yes, the more inclusive special forces.
You just go, I'm in the Secret Service. Yes, yeah.
It's mostly paperwork these days.
Yeah.
You know, and looking at the internet to see who's up to bad stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know where to begin with this, because we have had so many messages about your Tesla body swap idea that I don't know where to begin. For people who didn't hear last week's podcast, you were suggesting you'd like to find a crashed Tesla Model 3.
Well, I got offered one, didn't I? And I'm living in regret because I sort of seesawed on the decision and it went. And it was a Model 3 that was fully functional but with no glass, doors, bonnet, boot or any other interior apart from the dash. Yeah. But it did work. And it was 12 grand. I was 3 years old. Mm. And I was kind of, is that lunacy or is that genius? And I was sort of seesawing. And it went, it sold. And I'm a bit peed off on myself for not pulling the trigger. pull that trigger on that purchase.
So you said, yeah, you'd love to have got a crashed but working Model 3 and then just put a sort of interesting car body from
yesteryear. Either
full classic or sort of modern classic, but something.
Something I could use as a family car.
But crucially, we thought perhaps it would save you a bit of time if the wheelbase of whatever you chose matched or nearly matched that of a Tesla Model 3. And
stop
which we established that the wheelbase on the Tesla Model 3 is 2,875 millimetres. And so people have drenched us with thoughts on this.
Have we really? We've had a deluge.
Yeah. I've noticed that less popular podcasts are able to read out the names of everybody who's messaged in that week. We simply couldn't do that. We'd be here for 9 hours. Honestly, the response to this has been nuts.
I love that.
I'm just going to have to pick some at random. A chap called Eriko says, I was listening to the sweet, sweet episode on Johnny's experience with a Model 3 and immediately began looking for wheelbase lengths of various exquisite vehicles. So he's given us a breakdown of his thoughts on wheelbases within an inch of the Teslas, which I think an inch is probably
you can about, depending on I the think, shapes of the arches and the ride height of the car, etc., etc. You can disguise these things. I would take an inch or less, yes, especially if it's worth it.
Well, exactly. So, well, let's try these on for size. W210 E class.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot of work for not the prettiest E-Class, but...
No, exactly, and it will be rotty as frig, so it's sort of... I don't know. A couple of Jags. Now, quite a few people suggested these, either an XJ40 or the related but updated X300.
Cool.
Both in the wheelbase area.
That's cool. I mean, I've got history with the XJ40...
It seems like
an age ago that I owned a pair of those 4 litre sovs, but
Peugeot 505.
Oh really?
Oh yeah,
is that almost identical wheelbase?
Preferably the estate, apparently. He hasn't shown his homework here, but yes, he says it's within an inch. And the final one of his suggestions is the E38 7 series. Pretty car.
Oh gosh, really?
Yeah,
see, both of them.
Try this one for size. A listener called David Cross has identified the Rover P5B.
Piss in my face. Is that the same wheelbase?
Well, I'd rather not. But
seriously, because it's
2810.
I can easily get one of those with rotten floor pan. Easily, because most...
Could you?
Easily.
He says it's 2810. Now, the Tesla's 2875, so that's 65 mil, so that's a bit of a difference.
Oh, that's what's it? Yeah, that I'm looking at that with my sort of finger and thumb whilst talking. I mean, again, it depends on the ride height, and
it does also. But if memory serves, the arches on a P5B, they sort of in the style of the time, they aren't sort of the trailing edge is not straight down, they have a sort of swooshy,
they do, they have a flyaway rear arch shape.
Flyaway, that's what I was looking for,
yeah.
So, that may give you some leeway.
Oh, my gosh, there's some serious cars there. Seriously good.
David is one of many, many, many people who pointed out that there's some US YouTubers who put a Honda Odyssey minivan onto a crashed Model S Plaid.
Yeah, I saw that. That was an amazing project. Well, I think it's still being finished, but I think that's glorious. Glorious.
Another listener, Emma Pemba, points out that the Mercedes W116, so what's that, an S-Class, isn't it? It has 2865 mil wheelbase, so that's 10 mil. That's really in the zone there. But
that's good, and that has a lovely back arch from memory as well.
Emma makes a very good point, though. She says the A-pillar is a hefty bit further back, and that would make the swap quite challenging. Now, a few people pointed this out, that... If the whole sort of architecture of the car is different, your dashboard and things are going to be...
A different place.
Apparently some YouTubers tried to put a Lamborghini Murcielago body over some... it was B for build, I think. They tried to do that with Tesla bits, but because the Lamborghini is such a fundamentally different shape, and yeah, it's all your dash to axle... You know, because that's always locked in, isn't it, on platform sharing and things. That's usually the one bit that's locked in, the distance between the pedals and the front axle.
Yeah.
I suppose because of, you know, your bulkheads and that. And that could trip you up. But
A-pillars are more raked on modern cars, isn't it? So you'd have more slack in the wiring loom, potentially, if you were going older. Because I genuinely thought at one point, just leave the dash... a Tesla dash and then just you leave it be, or you could say sort of carefully carve bits out of it and then nestle them into another dash. The dash is always the hardest bit on these sorts of swaps because you've got all these giant wiring looms to disguise, and that kind of stuff. But it depends if it's a really utilitarian, simple car where the dash is not the main event. So
true. A lovely suggestion here from Ian Stockwell. Now, I don't know. Ian hasn't shown his workings. I haven't checked if this is within the wheelbase zone. But he suggests a Fiat 130 Coupe.
I can't believe how many...
Nice cars.
I can't believe how many wheelbases there are to choose from. I mean, if I was Gordon Murray, brainstorming...
You'd be salivating.
I'd be just going, right, I'm already going to commission three of these. I'm just trying to work out if I can round it up to five, and then I'll get five different versions done.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's really cool.
Now, a lot of people, including Campbell Mackey, suggested the car that, you remember last week when we were talking and I looked up something and I went, ooh, this is interesting, but I won't say what it is. I'll let listeners do the work. Mm. The car that I had delighted on is one that Campbell's identified and a load of other people as well. Citroen XM.
Oh, you bugger. That's a nice van.
Subsequently, yeah, it turns out the CX is also sort of within the ballpark.
Now, you WhatsApped that to me like a day or two later after that last cast we did.
I didn't remember that.
You did. And you know what? I've been thinking about it every day since, going, a CX would be lovely, because I'm a big fan of both the saloon, the hatch, and the estate version, the Familia or whatever it's called. Mm. And that has enormous family practicality. I started looking at prices of Citroën CXs. I haven't looked at CXs for 20 years. They are hard to find, and you cannot get a cheap one, which is a shame in this context. But I'd love a CX. Blimmin' love a CX.
How do you feel about the 1968 to 72 Chevrolet Chevelle two-door?
I think it's a cool car, the Chevelle, for somebody. I would not do this job on it as an EV swap.
Okay. It was a suggestion from a listener called Anders Neckelholm.
Well, Anders, I appreciate your amazing homework, Anders. In fact, most of the crashed Teslas come from Norway, or they certainly used to, for all their organ doning for EV stuff. So, Anders, can you keep... This winter, can you just keep your eyes out for any sort of like crashed, buried Teslas that aren't totally trashed? Thank you.
He points out that the Chevelle wagon has a 4-inch longer wheelbase. That's a lot, isn't it? And that would mean you could do a swap on a crashed Model S.
So see,
keep your options open.
Chevelle wagon, yeah, because I was thinking the usual two-door Chevelle, the muscle car, the one that everyone wants, that wouldn't be right. But a lower ranking one, like a four-door wagon, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now we're talking.
I mean, it seems like the Model 3 actually has a 110-inch wheelbase, and Anders is saying the Chevelle two-door is 116. So there might be a bit of finagling here. But on the tip of American classics, Tim Johnson suggests that within 2 inches of a Model 3 is the AMC Hornet Sportabout. You know the estate?
That's like the
brilliant name.
It's like one of the rarest cars out there, I would have thought. It's rare, but nobody cares for them.
Yeah, I don't imagine. Are they that sought after? I sort of think they're probably not.
No, probably not. The only Hornet's probably the one that did the James Bond corkscrew jump. And that, even then, compared to other cars of its age, probably not really worth much, sadly.
Yeah. Simon Rook, hello Simon, another suggestion for the Jag XJ40. Quite a lot of XJ40 suggestions, and I think, you know, you've got, because you have, like you say, you've got previous, but if you wanted another...
Still got the badge off one of them. Still got the boot badge.
Have you?
Yeah, I found it when I moved house the other year.
There's another luxury saloon car that you may want to consider. This has been suggested by quite a few people, including someone who's just calls themselves Rampant Twattery, but they say that they'd initially thought Audi 100 Avant, the C3 shape, cool and retro.
That's a very nice car, yeah.
Yeah, wheelbase is way off.
Okay.
But this has led Mr. or Mrs. Twattery to first generation Audi A8. Ooh, that's a pretty car.
That's a really pretty car. I like those early. I saw one a few weeks ago and stopped and stroked my chin whilst looking
yes.
at it.
Yes. Oh, did you rush home and get your roll neck so you could really stroke?
I did. Ooh. And I fetched my spectacles and I really like that because I like that era of Audi. I like the design language. Yeah. We've said it before, that A6 of that era is one of my faves. First gen all road, very nice.
I think the A8 there is sort of, it's elegant. And you don't often think of Audis as elegant, but I think it's a really elegant car. Now, Rampant, if I can call him that, also points out that lightweight aluminium construction.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's got to be a boon. And the wheelbase is within, let's see, so Tesla 2875, Audi 2882, so 7 mil. I mean, that's nothing.
No, you can hide 7.
And the track widths, so you're going to need some spacers.
That's
the
okay.
Audi's front track. It's interesting. The front track is wider than its rear. The Audi used to do that a bit, didn't they? But, so the Audi's front track is 1597 against 1580 on the Tesla.
I can't. This is
spaceless.
This is like Fantasy Football League, isn't it?
Isn't it?
But like body swap or pan swap, as Americans call it.
Oh, by the way, I did a long journey last week in my 24 Tesla, and I was listening out for the pan tang, what do you call it, floor pan bob.
Yeah, pan bob.
When it
yeah.
was doing on the move preheating, when I told it I was heading to a charger.
Yeah, yours didn't do
and
it.
And I didn't hear anything.
You're in a Y though, aren't you?
Yeah.
I reckon it's, I think it's a three thing.
It. Yeah.
But
well,
maybe
you can listen out for it when you have Model 3 hardware installed under a first generation Audi A8, which I love that. Also, something else that this listener points out is that you can find one with a broken gearbox because it's a common fault. Mm. So they're sort of offing themselves on a regular basis.
I think the only issue will be marrying aluminum body to steel floor pan. Which might be a bit of a Brian Canterbury tale. However, worth it if you can find a solution. I really like that solution. Good goodness, what choices we've got. Citroen CX, Citroen XM. I mean, Fiat 130 Coupe, that's a little bit rare for me. But I like the Peugeot 505 Estate. I mean, I haven't seen one for ages, but I know they're a big one and they're good. That could be really nice, rare groove, actually.
Oh, now, I can actually solve you're right, the aluminium to steel pan.
Yes.
You're going to have to sort of...
Don't say self-tappers, everybody. Don't say, like, nail gun.
Or no more nails. Just use, Gorilla Glue, it'll be fine. Just don't break too hard.
Or just use aeronautical glue, like JLR.
Oh, yes.
And Lotus.
Yes. I mean, it holds aeroplanes together.
It holds aeroplanes, so... Just squidge a load of that down and clamp it in the garage and leave it for the weekend.
Yes. Or depending on the angle, just leave a pile of heavy books on it overnight.
A library on
it. But if that's troubling you, then what about the Volkswagen Phaeton?
Really?
Well, according to Oliver Sinden, the short wheelbase Phaeton is 2881 between the wheels. So it's 6 mil longer than the Model 3.
Do you know, that could be great.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that could be really.
Model 3, sort of quite a compact car. Phaeton, big exec car, but their wheelbases are very close.
Well, the wheelbase chat is more interesting chat than I thought it would be, because I've just come away from doing a video with the Polestar 4.
Oh.
Which is obviously electric, being a Polestar. And that has a 3-metre wheelbase. And... Mm. The Ioniq 5, when that launched, had a 3-metre wheelbase. And I remember vividly doing some calcs going, bloody hell, what else has a 3-metre wheelbase? And it's like 2 mil longer than a full-size Range Rover wheelbase. So bloody you hell. Think of a modern full-size Range. It's a big old car, that. But the wheelbase is almost identical to an Ioniq 5 and a Polestar 4. Shall I get my
That's
coat
nuts.
And shall I go and have a word with myself? Or is that interesting to
no,
us?
No, I think this is a safe space. As another listener called Harry King also identifies the Phaeton as a possible swapper for your mythical crashed Model 3. But Harry also identifies it's a little bit less of a neat match. The Lexus LS 400.
Oh, be still my beating.
2850 mil wheelbase. So that's, yeah, there's going to be a bit of chopping going on, but not loads. And if you want a real classic, someone else, this is Campbell Mackie again. Campbell's having two bites of the cherry here, but he is suggesting, again without showing
his wheelbase guy,
that the Alvis TF21 is in the ballpark. I love those. They're very stately.
Yes, but you're not going to chop. Well, you could chop one about because...
They're not mega valuable.
No, they're one of those elderly cars that probably the awareness is not that high on them. So so you could snag one. I mean,
wasn't there one of those cosy Sunday night dramas where the hero drove one?
An Alvis.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. I'm sure someone will remember. But Simon Openshaw, you'll like this one, although it's a little bit off in terms of dimensions, but not. It's, what is it? Yeah, no, it is actually quite off, but I'm going to say it.
Listen, there's a lot of automotive engineers who listen to this podcast, it seems. They'll be tutting if it's too far off.
Mark II Vauxhall Senator.
Oh, really?
But unfortunately, so 2750 as opposed to 2800. I mean, that's a bit far away. I think that might be a stretch.
No.
Or a shorten.
But I have to
say, depending which way you come at it,
I like the thinking, and I do still look out for them for sale. I'm not going to lie. And hang on. What about the Eagle Quest limousine flower car version of the Senator Mark II, of which we have discussed before on previous casts? And I've nearly pulled the trigger, pulled back my purchase bow, and fired an arrow at. But I didn't. and I still think about that car as well. I'm such a ding-a-ling. I'd love an Eagle Quest extended wheelbase Senator Series 2. Man. There was talk about Land Rovers, wheelbase-wise.
Yes.
Is this true?
Yes. Now... Yeah, Matt Stanford has sent us a whole list. He says, I've just burnt an hour and a half on this. So
we've just burnt half the podcast on it.
Well, I know, exactly. We will stop in a minute. Your Britain's number one wheelbase chat
podcast. Wheelbase wankers.
Matt, very, very scientifically lays out the benchmark here. Tesla Model 3 wheelbase, 288 centimetres, he's put at the top of his message, in bold, italics, underlined. Wow. And then he's done a list. Now, some of these are a bit... too far away, I would say, but as well as the XM and the CX, both about 285 centimetres, the C6 is only 290 centimetres.
Oh.
So, and it's within 2 centimetres on width as well. So, and in fact, Matt has put in bold the candidates he thinks are most likely, and he's bolded the C6 and then put 4 next to it.
You know what? We both like the Citroën C6. We both tested them when they were new, I think.
Yes.
I would do that. God, I'd love to do that. My dad really likes those. Bob likes those.
But since you asked about Land Rovers, yes, Matt's list includes the Discovery 3/4.
Oh my god!
288 centimeters, 288.5. So it's within.
What's that?
And also,
within 5 centimeters? Less than.
Well, it's 0.5. So it's it's definitely within the. He's quoted them all in centimeters.
Oh wow! Okay.
What's that between friends? And in centimeters, exactly the same. 288. The L322 Range Rover.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So. This is where things get exciting. I really like the shape of the Disco 3. But can you imagine if it was Tesla ground clearance? It would look like a Ford Flex. And I always liked the Ford Flex. I have a real thing for a Ford Flex. I don't know whether US listeners are going to go, what? I just really wish they brought the Flex over here. It's just a big station wagon that's also got something about it. It's got like a really strong... shape. I'm totally down with it.
I'd like them, and I always liked seeing them in the US. Yeah. I think they didn't do very well, did they? They weren't.
I don't know. I was going to ask. I worked with a camera operator on a show for BBC America, and he had one when it was almost new. And he was a younger guy, and he was really proud of it. And we chatted about it at length. And then when I finished the show, we spoke maybe a couple of times a year. 2 years later, he said, "Hey, Johnny, long time no speak. Do you remember my Ford Flex?" I went, "Yeah, of course I remember your Ford Flex, because it was mint. It was a really high-spec one." He said, "Yeah, yeah. It got stolen from outside my house by two druggies, and it got involved in a televised police chase."
Oh, my God.
He said he basically woke up and watched the news and went, "God, they've got a black Ford Flex." Okay. And they went outside and went, "That must be mine, because mine's not outside anymore." And that was it.
Oh my
God. He said they'd done loads of crack in it and then got caught in some mad chase, or they've tried to ram raid the 7-Eleven or something, and it ended up on TV. So he said insurance gave me a terrible price. So he said, I'm searching for another Flex, even though they've stopped making them. I really want one. So I hope you did find another Flex.
I don't want to besmirch the Flex, but you must be pretty high on drugs to think that was the best getaway car when you could have nicked a Camaro or something. Maybe they liked a roomy escape.
I think they liked a nice drugs den in the back. You need space for the drugs
den. I suppose, yes. That's it. You could really relax.
Get your bongs out, your collection of bongs.
In the back. Now, let's just take a little deviation into something else here so we're not just constantly
talking about wheelbases.
Wheelbases. A message from a listener in Ireland, Paddy McEntigart, and he's in Dundalk, the home of The Cause.
Oh, my word. Stop it.
I know Johnny and possibly Richard too is a bit of a fan.
Oh, my gosh.
Mainly Johnny, I would say. Their family home is en route to a shopping centre, and over the years, I would always glance while passing to see what was on the driveway. A Lexus LS was always sitting in pride of place.
No way.
Yeah.
The Cause.
Sounds like more than one.
The Cause drive multiple LSs.
He says, "I believe they were owned by their late father, who passed away in 2015. But, and here's where it gets interesting. So, yes, Father Core died a few years ago. Paddy says, "Recently I passed the house and saw the big Lexus still parked on the drive.
No.
Sitting a bit squat now and getting a bit mossy. I don't think it's moved for a long time."
No way. There's a dilapidated driveway find Lexus LS on the Caroline, Andrea, the other one, Jim.
Jim.
And the other lady. Well, no, Sharon.
But Sharon. Hold up. I've got some extra Cause Lexus info, because Paddy points out that this house is kind of public knowledge, as in somebody has put a picture of it online.
Yeah.
And noted that this is where the Core parents live.
Mm-hmm.
But
quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, if you look, I guess this is on Google Street View or whatever, that the as a bonus, when you look at the house on there in the past, across the road was parked Jim's SC430.
No way!
I'm not sure.
Jim had a Lexus Roadster.
Well,
the ultimate one-wheel peel car for me.
I'm not sure. It doesn't actually say, looking at this link, it doesn't say how they know for sure that it's Jim's, but there is indeed an SC430 parked across the road when you look at the street view.
I feel so privileged that we have this podcast and we're able to tap into the car world of Sade, the car world of the Cause, not yet the car world of Enya, but that will come, I'm sure.
That will happen, yeah, inevitably.
I love it.
Paddy has one final thing to say on this matter. He says, as I was writing this email, I chuckled to myself knowing that this would be of zero interest to most, but seems like a bit of Smith & Sniff gold. I'm now thinking it would be ripe for a late break show barn find special, resurrecting the Cause Family LS.
Oh my God! Seriously, I am so excited. I'm really, really. I'm smiling. I'm chipper. Please, if anyone from the Cause is listening, which is highly unlikely, Sharon, Caroline, Andrea, Jim, please get in touch with us. I'm not weird, okay? I'll treat this.
I just want to get the Lexus going. No, my intentions are good.
But if you wanted to do an unplugged session, say if I got the old girl running and cleaned up, I'm there, all right? And Andrew, if you make eye contact with me during, you know, when you're singing Runaway, I'll be fine with it.
She makes eye contact with you and you accidentally spray WD-40 into your ear. I was trying to get the points clean.
I dropped them on the ground and accidentally wee myself and then pretend it's something else. Oh, no, I've just been under the car and it's that smell. Yeah, that's transmission fluid. It smells horrible. It smells just like piss. Yeah. ATF's horrible. Sorry, Andrew.
You'd have to make it a very clickbaity title. I shat myself whilst getting the Cause Lexus going.
I don't think you need to make it clickbaity. I mean, just listen to it. You can even make that shit up. Abandoned Cause Lexus saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Also, it's a bloody Lexus. You'd probably just need to hose it down and it would start immediately.
Oh, genuinely.
An easy job, but so satisfying.
I'd be brilliant. Take a strong battery and a pressure washer. That's all I'd need. No, yeah. I wouldn't even take a screwdriver. Yeah. Be fine.
No.
Although Jim's probably got an amazing Snap-on toolkit that we don't know about. And Jim's really into his sort of home mechanic tinkering. And he's got one of those... No, not really. I'm just saying it for the podcast. But he's got one of those huge. He's got one of those huge Snap-on cabinets that's about 8 feet tall. And you know, you can have the special edition ones where they've got like an image of a NASCAR race or Travis Pastrana a jump. And he's got the Lexus LS400 with his mum and dad like waving out of the window on the lane. Going to the house where it lives, and that's his Snap-on toolkit. It cost him about $16,000.
Yeah, nice. I've just typed in Andrea Core car.
Oh, stop.
To Google Images, and I was wondering if the Cores are in fact Lexus loyalists.
That'd be brilliant if they were.
They're real, you know. They just. But all I can find is her with an SLK.
Okay. Well, I don't know if any of the actual band live anywhere near that Lexus. That's what we don't know.
I'm just going to work through all of the Cores now by typing their names followed by car. Well, Andrea, Sharon, what's the other one?
Caroline, Sharon,
Caroline,
Andrea, and Jim. So three girls, one man.
No, Caroline's coming up with nothing. And then let's do Jim with his airbrush toolbox. No, there's a picture of him in a car, but I can't tell what it is. It's got sort of coffee-coloured leather.
Of course it has.
So we're doing CSI in this car interior. We could probably narrow this down. I can't quite tell. I mean, Lexus do offer, I think, that. Ooh, it says Jim Core had a driving ban.
What? Was it one-wheel peeling? Yeah. In the SC430?
Yeah, it was driving at high speed in reverse because his Lexus has such an excellent quality backup camera on it. No, he was driving using a mobile phone on the M3 in Belfast. In May 2020. It does not say frustratingly what car he was in. Damn it!
That is annoying.
What's happened to journalism? You can't even say he was in a Lexus IS 250.
Yes.
Or something. But no, there's no... That's annoying. Well, we'll come back to it. I'm sure, I don't know, listeners in Ireland or listeners anywhere who've encountered the cause in their cars, get in touch.
Cause in cars. And,
yeah, cause in cars. Da, 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 da.
Girls
just
on
to
film.
Go back to wheelbases very quickly, a few people suggested this. I read a message from David Rupilus.
That's Rupilus. A great name.
Sorry, David, I don't know what how to pronounce your surname. Oh, actually, no, because then his surname in his message is different. David Clading. Clading. He's writing from Germany and says that you should consider a Renault Grand Espace, the third generation one from the late 90s. It's within 1 millimetre of the Tesla Model 3 spec.
1 millimetre.
Yes. Now, David adds that with a GRP body over galvanised independent steel chassis, it should make things easy with duct tape and cable ties.
Wow.
Yeah.
That.
Interesting thought.
I actually like that. I like the idea of an MPV body shell. I mean, that Tesla Model S plaid Odyssey is a cool thing. Imagine a Previa or a L Grand.
In fact, a few people, amongst them Paul Gardner, suggested the Mark 1 Prev. The wheelbase is 2865, so it's within 10 mil, so you're definitely in the...
In proper the Boris Johnson there. Spec as well, isn't it? Mark 1 Prev.
I wonder, though, because that... Now, underneath, of course, that sort of everything's all a different way around. I suppose it doesn't really matter, because you're yanking out the original engine, so... yeah,
that's, all we've got to do now, Richard, is find someone who'd be willing to do this job, to execute this technical butchery.
Well, they're out there, I'm sure. It's just, you know, anything's possible if you've got enough money.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe this is it. We could dovetail two themes from this show.
What?
One of the cores is desperate for a practical car, but it must be EV. They can't quite find what they want. Up rocks Johnny Smith. I'll get your dad's old Lexus going while you finalise the spec for mating a Previa body with a Tesla Model 3 underparts, and we're in business.
Well, hang on, no.
The cause millions will fund this project.
Maybe the cause have kept the LS because in their dad's memory they can't bear to get rid of it because it was his finest car.
Yeah.
But they're modern people and they want to use it every day, but they wished it was EV. And then we make it happen. We swap their LS... To Model 3 Pan.
Yes.
And then Andrea Corr, maybe, and Caroline and Sharon, they bankroll the business and they start doing them for other people worldwide. They put their Corr's stamp of approval on a rejuvenated LS Lexus. I think this could be... I'll help with some of the PR, maybe.
We should probably stop doing wheelbase. We've got so many. It's honestly hundreds.
Have we really? Is this the biggest response to any letter?
Of anything ever, yeah. It's just, I mean, we do get a lot of emails every week, but this has been something else. It was quite overwhelming. I didn't know what to do, so I really have just been randomly picking them. I've just got one here from Andrew Wilson. He was one of two or three people who suggested a real outlier that we would have never considered. It's got a wheelbase within 3 millimetres of a Tesla Model 3.
Oh, gosh.
And it is... The Plymouth Prowler.
Is it?
Yes.
Bloody hell. It's quite a naked car, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, I suppose you kind of, if you're going to do a swap, all of the front suspension's exposed on the Prowler. So, I mean, Model 3 is double wishbones.
Yes.
But I don't know if it would package in the same way on the Prowler.
I think the
Prowler shell.
Prowler packaging is your issue because it's more of a sort of skinny hot rod type of layout, isn't it? You need a big...
Yes,
I'm still thinking about Disco 3, I have to say.
Are you?
Yeah.
But a low-riding sort of Disco 3, like the air suspension's collapsed.
Yes, exactly that. So a low... So almost turning a Discovery into an MPV rather than an off-roader. Because I'm not interested in going off-road in it. So...
No, fair enough.
Yeah. Most people aren't.
Also, just doing a little email and message roundup. Thank you to everybody who heard last week's show and pointed out that dogs wearing nappies, they're probably female dogs and they're in season.
Yes, which I hadn't even considered.
Yeah, it's just to sort of avoid mess / stop Randy boy dogs from impregnating your beloved girl dog.
I appreciate all of those comments because we had quite a few people pointing that out. So I feel educated. and pleased.
Yeah, I know, I do too. That's the thing. We say our listeners are smart and they will set us straight on all sorts of topics. Am I allowed to ask?
Yeah.
Just bringing it to cars.
Yeah.
How was the Polestar 4?
Well, I'm trying to think when this podcast goes out versus the embargo, but...
This will go out on Monday the 29th, basically.
Okay, so it has no back window, which is what this is the thing that's creating all the headlines. Like, it's a family, it's a family car. They're calling it a coupe SUV, but I wouldn't take much notice of that. It's just a well proportioned four door hatch, really.
I am a bit confused by the Polestar range, because, in fact, I was away with some mates the other day and one of my friends said, what's going on with these Polestars that I'm seeing around? Is it just the one model? And I'd say, no, that's the two you're seeing around, but there's the 3 and the 4 and the 5 all coming.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't even remember which is which.
Well, three is what? They call it an SUV, but I think it's actually an estate. So the 3 is going to be the biggest one. The 3 is going to be bigger than the 4, which is the one with no back window that I've just walked around.
So the 4 is the size of what then?
The 4 is the... I did all the specs of it yesterday. The 4 is... Hang on.
Like a Qashqai size smaller or bigger?
Let me rustle my papers. I still got my notes from filming it in the studio. The 4 is, well, if you're going to talk wheelbase, obviously it's 3 meter wheelbase.
Oh.
It's 234 mil longer than the Polestar 2, and it's 65 mil higher. And it's got almost the same turning circle, and it's got a bigger boot, and it's got a very small frunk. But it's you know what it, to me to look at, it's sort there's little bits of Lotus Eleche. And a few little bits of Genesis GV60, I would say, and also the Volvo EX30, which is their small electric car, which I drove, which I think is one of the best Volvos I've ever driven. I really, really like it. And also this is the cheapest.
I've seen a couple of Eletras on the road. I've been in London quite a lot recently, and I've seen two Eletras in that there London.
I want to call it the Eletray.
Yes, Eletray. To go with your Ford Cortina.
Cortina.
Or whatever I said earlier on. Yeah. But yeah.
Eletray.
The Ford Cortina. Yeah, no, it looks okay, although I was walking down the street and with a mate who's into cars, and we saw one. I went, well, there's Eletra. And he's like, I thought from a distance that was an Urus coming towards us.
Mm.
It does have a look of it, but
well, if it sells like the Urus, then Lotus will be happy people, won't they?
Yeah, I bet they will. So, does that lack of back window, is it bothersome when you sit in it?
It's actually, it's strangely okay. They've done lots of things to bring you around to the idea that you're not going to miss it by the panoramic roof comes back beyond your head in the back seat. And those little like D pillar windows, they're tinted. Yeah. So on the outside, they don't look like windows, but they actually are. So you can look out of those. So it actually feels a lot less claustrophobic than I thought. And I interviewed the designer, Max, and he explained that the whole ethos behind the seats and everything, it feels like one of those business class long haul flight booths that you get on an aeroplane, where you're kind of nestled into this. Backlit, ambient, surround sound, like little den. And there is something about that. I thought it, at first it sounded a bit wanky, but actually I sat in it twice and then looked around it in detail. I thought, I mean, it is quite an extreme decision for aero and rigidity, but...
That's why, is it? Is it an aero
thing? It's an aero thing, they say. Yeah, it's an aero thing. Mm. So the sort of brace, the header bar or whatever they call it, the bracing piece in the roof, which most steel constructed cars, monocoque cars have, is usually further forward. But if you have it further forward, you get worse headroom. So what they wanted to do is move it further back more than any other manufacturer. And in doing so, let the pano roof provide the sort of the space and the feeling of openness that you wanted. And then the roof line can come down, but you don't. You still have good headroom, and you do. You still have loads of legroom and loads of headroom. So yeah, it's, I'll tell you what it is. It's a disruptor of a car, and I like it. I'm still digesting whether it's totally worth it. I mean, it's got about a million cameras on it. So obviously the rear view mirror is not a mirror, it's a camera.
You lose the parallax of a mirror. Is that, am I thinking of parallax? I'm talking
I don't know if it, I've never heard of parallax, but I think I know what you mean.
It sounds like something that, that one of the teams would call themselves on The Apprentice. Team Parallax, Lord Sugar. But it's...
I thought it'd be...
I think it's parallax.
Be gladiators.
So you sort of... Someone from Gladiators. When you move your head, your view in the mirror changes because your perspective changes.
Ah.
What you're seeing. Whereas this, when you're looking at a screen, it doesn't, because all you're looking at is a little screen. So you're still seeing what the camera's seeing. That doesn't change because the camera's not moved. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That's the bit that always scrambles my head a little bit with those interior mirrors. To be honest, I've tried them in Land Rover. I've had them for a while, haven't they? And I always end up turning them off because they get on my tits.
The Audi e-tron.
Oh, yes, the e-tron has... And
which it doesn't work in, side but the Honda E kind of does work, I think. It's weird how that works better. Poor Honda E. I feel like I need to buy a Honda E. Honda E.
I was funny enough, someone was asking me about those the other day and going, are they, you know, are they all right? And there's someone I know who's got one and who leased it and loved it so much, or PCP'd it, that at the end of the term they just bought it outright.
Brilliant.
And absolutely love it. Even though, you know, they're well aware of the range is not fantastic, but the urban.
I bet they're a two car family though, aren't they?
Yes. Oh God, yeah, yeah.
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 See,
you'd have to be, wouldn't you? But then, you know, plenty of people are.
But as we sit here and breathe, you can get one for $18,000 with about 1,000 miles on the clock.
Yes.
I mean, just think about that. That's it's on sale right now for like $39,000.
Mm.
So you can almost get one for like almost virgin for $18,000, and it's such a good car. Like the cabin is so wonderful, and as a second car, as a commute-y type of car, I just think it's awesome. We are going to look back and go,
so
that was brilliant.
Nice to look at, aren't they?
It's a classic. That car's biggest problem is the BMW i3, which is also not being discontinued. And that's a fantastic car that's an instant classic as well, I think.
Is the range, though, if it's cold?
Yeah.
I've read people saying it's under 100 miles.
I think it would be under 100 if you do the usual, like 70 on the motorway with heating on 24. Yeah, okay. Yes. But if you were driving it away from motorways, so sort of mostly B-road stuff, and you preheated it and used your seat warmer and all that stuff, I think it'd be over 100. But yeah, I mean, it's a deal breaker for a lot of people, and I appreciate that.
Cheapest Honda E on Auto Trader at the moment is 14.5.
14? Is it?
Yeah, for a 2020 one with 30,000 miles on it, yeah.
Oh my gosh, so 30,000, I mean, that's still pretty low.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a Honda, isn't it? I wouldn't be, that's of no concern, really. It's just whether you could live with the car itself. Now, there's plenty here just kicking around the 14, 15 mark, 16, loads at 16.
Gosh, yeah. Stop it, Richard, you temptress.
Interesting. Food for thought. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, why don't you see if you can find a crashed Honda E and then put a Reliant Kitten body on it?
A Tesla Model 3 body on it?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Johnny Smith, king of ironies. So, speaking of new cars, I drove the Volkswagen ID.7 last week.
Oh.
Which I sort of approached with trepidation because I've not been a massive fan of the ID family to date.
Mm, yeah.
Largely around that bog-awful touchscreen.
Yes.
But also that sort of slight sense of that they were kind of a bit cheaply made, perhaps, in ways they hoped you hadn't noticed.
Yes.
And
the ID.4 being, I think, to look at anyway, so boring, I genuinely start falling asleep.
Yeah, awful. ID.5 is, I think, even worse because it's got that sort of slant back. It's trying to look sporty and it's not. It's just, it's a really underwhelming car. That's the thing, it just feels like they sort of haven't finished it somehow.
Yeah.
It's just meh. Anyway, ID.7's much better. It's actually perfectly fine.
Is it?
They've totally redone that screen. Yeah, so they're now they've still got the touch sensitive temperature controls, but they light up at night and everything's much snappier. I guess they've given it a much more powerful processor.
Yeah.
But all the screen graphics are way better. Not perfect. They've almost panicked and gone, oh, God, you don't like it. We'll make you like it by letting you configure it in a million different ways. And it's almost like sometimes you just go, now, where the fuck did I put that. But I think if you lived with it, you know, I just drove it for an afternoon, but I think if you lived with it, you'd remember where you'd put things, because that muscle memory that you have on your smartphone screen for where apps are, yeah, is the same sort of deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, the best ID car I've driven by a mile.
Oh, wow. Well, that is good to know.
So they're getting their mojo back. It was absolutely slashing it down the day I drove it. And it had that sense that good VWs have, where they're not the most exciting cars in the world, but they feel trustworthy because they feel like they're not going to do something silly and bite you. They're just, you know, they're sort of on your side, yeah, dependable cars in khaki conditions. And it's like that.
I want the ID2, having looked at it. It's the closest to the Up. Well, and you like the Up, your electric Up, yeah, and I think that's almost a spiritual successor to it.
Well, I think it is, and I was asking someone from VW to double confirm when it's coming, and irritatingly, it's going to arrive about a year after our Up goes back. So,
what an absolute!
Going to have to find an interim. Maybe just get a second-hand Honda E.
I was just about to say, just do that, and you should totally. You should totally do that. Talking of Volkswagens, Golf 8.5 Mark 8.5 has been unveiled, hasn't it?
Yes.
Now, I've only got one thing to say. When the Mark 8 came out, I likened it to a sloth. It does have a face of a sloth.
Yes, it
or
does.
A sloth if you're David Attenborough. And I guess he's right, because he's David Attenborough.
Yeah.
A sloth. But I've realised that there's something else which the Mark 8, because the Mark 8.5, I think, still looks quite similar to the 8. You know that 7th century iron and copper helmet which was dug up in Sutton Hoo by archaeologists?
I think it's Sutton Hoo.
As it is Sutton Hoo. You know the helmet, don't you? It looks, I think in a previous podcast, I've said that it looks just like Graham Hill, the late great Graham Hill. Well, it does. It's basically a racing driver's face in helmet form. It also looks like a Golf Mark 8.5, I think.
Oh, I'll have to.
So if you have a look at it, I think that is the facelifted, slightly tech-lifted Golf. I do wonder whether anybody cares. Because I like Golfs. I've enjoyed many Golfs, and I've owned a few Golfs.
You say many Golfs, not mini Golf.
I'd love to own mini Golf. I don't own mini Golf.
Mini Golf, pitch and putt. I love all
that. Oh, bitch and slut. Love it. I don't care about the Mark 8.5. I don't think I care. And is that bad?
You could care about what you want.
I should care, but I want to care. But I think the Mark 8 made me not care about Golfs anymore. So I need to be won back, but I'm wanting the ID2. The ID2 in my head is sort of like,
yeah, it's appealing in principle, isn't it? It looks nice, and it looks sort of small and chunky and VW-ish, and hopefully they're getting their mojo back around electric cars. The ID7 suggests they're heading in the right direction. But the most memorable thing that I saw on the ID7 afternoon, I was driving around in terrible weather, it was around Milton Keynes.
Of course.
You know, in those big wide boulevards that they have there. And for people who've never been to Milton Keynes, it's sort of a lot of the roads, because it's a new town built on a kind of American
grid system.
Grid principle. So a lot of dual carriageways with a wide grass central reservation between.
Yes.
And I saw someone in a Kia EV6. And they crossed in front of my carriageway into the central bit. Now, it was pouring with rain, and the roads were slick wet. And then clearly this person in the EV6 decided they were going to go for it and pull out onto the opposite carriageway and head off where they were going. So they must have absolutely matted it. And the EV6 became visibly squirrely. You know, when you see a car like sort of heat rocking around, and I was like squirming, and I was like, bloody hell, because they can be a bit lively, those cars.
Yeah.
I mean, the GT particularly.
Yeah.
But I've never actually seen somebody visibly wrestling with one because they've overdone it.
It was lurching and squirming, was it?
Well, I imagine because the stability control was probably having a busy day all of a sudden, that it was never going to fully lose it. But that's the thing. What you could see was just the lurching. Yeah, the lurching and the sort of wiggling. It was wiggling its hips.
Oh, gosh.
So whoever you were, sir or madam, I admire your commitment, but it might have been a little much given the conditions.
I know we're still talking about cars, which is probably not what people listen to us for, and I apologise.
Mm.
I got over 41.5 miles per gallon in the Ghetto Boxster last week.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did. And I wasn't driving it at 40 miles an hour. I was driving back from Cheshire on most fast roads. I'm in love with the Ghetto Boxster. Not going to lie.
Fair enough.
I am so pleased with it. I've got the roof working again. Thanks to Carhoods Northern up in Cheshire. That's what I went up to do. Went up to just check whether it was possible to make the roof work again without replacing everything. And sure enough,
Carhoods Brackets Northern, or how do they?
Carhoods Northern. I will, if you want me to dig out their website, I can.
Sure people
can. And I must also, again, obviously thank to, I need to thank the other two people who helped resurrect the Boxster, which a video is incoming for this, which is LaRose down in Kent, who did a deep service on it and confirmed with me that I hadn't bought a shit one, which is always nice. And obviously Birmingham Car Keys, the boys at Birmingham Car Keys, who we've mentioned before, but above and beyond, honestly, above and beyond the call of duty to get that Porsche fixed and on the button, and it really is trustworthy. Honestly, it's been a joy. Yeah, carhoodsnorthern.co.uk. They only do, obviously, cabriolets, but they do the hard top convertible things as well, which they say most of those leak from the factory and cannot be mended properly. They did mention BMW 4 Series hard top convertible. Yeah. They said there's a reason why they went back to having a fabric roof. Because I always wondered that. Why have they gone from hardtop convertible back to fabric?
Pretty much everyone. Everyone. Even Ferrari, you know, the Roma now is a convertible, which negates the old California and the, what was the other one called? The Portofino. We will look back on that period of history with folding hard metal roofs and go, particularly on four-seat cars. It's just ridiculous.
Were we doing it for the sake of it? Who knows?
Now, we should bring this to an end, but before we do, I have a confession. I was, in the last week, I've been driving the ID7. That was one day out of my time. I've been back and forth to London twice, and I've just...
You've been doing day drinking in London.
Yeah, no, I haven't even had time. I've been doing proper work and some stuff that's some things I can't talk about at the moment, but hopefully will in the future. The reason I mention this is because I haven't had time to think of a made-up show for you or indeed find a piece of trivia for the third thing, so there won't be any of that this week, just to say that, of course, as you know, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel that is called The Late Break Show.
Yes.
There's lots of excellent things on it. And as ever, I've got a new book out called Boring Car Trivia 4.
And the Barnfine Capri did actually go out on The Late Break Show, much to people's glee.
Get away.
I wasn't actually lying. And
no, I know, I did actually. I haven't watched it yet, but I did see it and I went, oh, bloody hell. I thought he was making that up.
No, so, not making it up.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you particularly for all the suggestions about Model 3 pan swaps, because they've been extraordinary. And sorry we couldn't read out more of them and give people name checks, but there were, I'm not exaggerating what I say, hundreds. So thank you for all those.
Thank you to everyone. And I know we never mention it, and we should do. If you really like this podcast, whatever platform you listen to it on, please rate us by giving us a star rating, preferably all of the stars, however many there are. But be honest and write a comment and spread the word, because we always get told to say that, but we never do, because basically me and Richard are useless and we end up talking about Sade instead.
So talking of liking and subscribing, we do actually have a song about that and we can play it now. Well, until next time, goodbye.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do.
Cheers, mate. Bye. 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 Cheers, mate.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.